Blog Talk Radio.
Be a loser. It don't have to be one day at a time anymore. All those broken hearts, memories, and failures. Our Lord Jesus, He already bore. Yes, He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was laid upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Yes, we like sheep have all gone astray. We've everyone turned and gone His own way. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep dumb before her shears. He opened not His mouth. Yes, and His visage was marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men, blotting out the handwriting on the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and He nailed it to the cross. And He said, whosoever believeth on me, to be a loser. It don't have to be one day at a time anymore. All those broken hearts, memories, and failures. Our Lord Jesus, He already bore. You don't have to be a loser. It don't have to be one day at a time anymore. All those broken hearts, memories, and failures. Our Lord Jesus, He already bore.
Reality. When we yield to the authority of God, we are filled with the Spirit as we yield to His Lordship. Lord Jesus, You have promised that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in Your name, will teach Your disciples all things and will remind those who follow You of everything You have said in Your Word. Peace You leave with us. Your peace You give us. You do not give to us as the world gives. Our hearts need not be troubled or afraid. Amen. Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Pastor Scott Warnick. I am known as the prison minister. I do prison ministry, and I also volunteer as a hospital chaplain. And I do enjoy this. But tonight I want to talk about what was Jesus' gospel. Most people don't realize what His gospel was about. Luke 4:4-3. I must preach the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent. Now, I will tell you this. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, brothers and sisters, that's Mark 1:14-15. But Jesus began His ministry with these words, announcing the kingdom of God. The time he had in mind to be fulfilled was probably a reference to the prophecy in Daniel 9, verses 24 and 25, where it is said that the Messiah would come 483 years from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Now the year AD 27 was when the 483 years specified in the prophecy would end. Now the year 27 is significant because that is the year Jesus began his ministry. He began preaching the message of the kingdom of God in Galilee. As we saw in my last teaching, the people and even Christ's own disciples had many misconceptions about the Messiah and his mission. People still misunderstand today, but in a totally different way, many fail to realize that the future world ruling kingdom prophesied in so many places in the Old Testament was at the heart of Jesus' message and teaching. A literal kingdom on earth, most people don't understand that the kingdom of God is a literal kingdom, a government, both divine and royal, ruling over literal people on the earth. This is not merely a symbolic or a spiritual rule, a sentiment that exists only in human hearts. As we see, it is far more, and Jesus simply continued the prophecies about this kingdom that had begun to be revealed in the Old Testament. A prophecy of this coming kingdom is graphically depicted in Daniel 2nd chapter. In this prophecy, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar was shown an image that represents the major kingdoms and or empires, if you will, that would dominate the Middle East. The image represents first the kingdom of Babylon, and then three successive kingdoms that would rule until the kingdom of God would be set up. Now, this kingdom of God will put an end to the rule of the previous kingdoms. But you have to notice the description of this final kingdom, the kingdom of God, in verse 44 of Daniel. And I quote, "And in the days of these final kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." The image Nebuchadnezzar saw represented the successive kingdoms existing from the time of Daniel to the time when the kingdom of God is established. When they will be destroyed by the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God shall never be destroyed and shall stand forever. Just as these are literal kingdoms, each with a ruler, government, laws, subjects, and territory. So too is the kingdom of God. Its ruler will be Jesus Christ. And that's spoken of in Revelation 11, verse 15. It is government and laws will be government and laws of God that Isaiah, in the second chapter, this prophet spoke of in verses 2 and 4. Its subjects and territory will be all nations of the earth. And that's Daniel 7:14, because the kingdom of God will rule over the whole earth. Now let's notice several of the more well-known prophecies that picture the same kingdom of which Jesus spoke. The famous prophecy of Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, this describes his rule. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. This is the world kingdom Jesus spoke of that has not yet come. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah 2, which is partially quoted here, will be fulfilled at the time of Jesus' return. But you have to notice verses 3 and 4, where it states, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. You know, we have to see that the kingdom of God will eradicate war when Jesus spoke so often of the kingdom of God. He was simply continuing the message of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus referred often and unmistakably to his return to earth to establish the kingdom these prophets had foretold. In his most lengthy prophecy, given in response to his disciples' question, according to Matthew 24:3, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? He described the end of the age of human-led governments and the arrival of his divine reign on earth. He specifically answered the disciples' questions in verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, 8 times in this chapter alone, he speaks of his coming to earth in a far different way than when he first arrived the first time. Because the first time he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, the second time he will come as its omnipotent ruling king to establish his kingdom over the entire earth. Now, Matthew 25, and if you'll turn there with your Bibles from me and look at verses 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, we always think, what kingdom is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of God, of which he so often taught. This kingdom was in planning and preparation. From the foundation of the world, Jesus, the Son of Man, will be the King of this kingdom. This is what Jesus came to announce. This was the heart of his message. Jesus' parable of the talents because of misunderstandings of the kingdom, Jesus gave a parable in which he made it clear his reign would involve a literal kingdom ruling in the physical realm as well as in the spiritual realm. Luke 19, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now the people were looking for the establishment of the kingdom of God with Jerusalem as the center of the government over the nations, with the Jews being the prominent people of the kingdom, as the prophets had foretold. So Jesus explained it this way. In verse 12 of Luke 19, he explained this. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now Jesus, the nobleman of the parable, taught that while he was away in heaven for an unspecified length of time, his servants would continue where they were here on earth during their Lord's business until he returned, when they would be rewarded. And what is their reward in this parable? It is having authority over cities, physical cities filled with the men, women, boys, and girls. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30 is similar, giving the same kind of message. The basic scenario is the same. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. The reward for those who increase their talents, which is a denomination of money, here symbolic of spiritual means, is being made ruler over many things. Now the kingdom of God, when it is established by Jesus Christ at his return, will be a literal government, ruling on earth and functioning not only in the spiritual affairs of man, but in his temporal affairs too. This is the kingdom that Jesus announced would be coming. And he began to invite some to repent and believe in the gospel, the good news of his message, because the kingdom of God is at hand. He was now announcing that kingdom, and they had the opportunity to prepare to be a part of the kingdom of God at his return. Better than a hallelujah. You know, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you all something. I know this was a very, very short teaching this evening. But, you know, I was reading, and even though I spoke a lot about the book of Mark, I ran across a verse in Mark 15, verse 39. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Now, you have to notice that verse. He said this man was the Son of God. Well, you know what? He is the Son of God. He is God the Father. For he told us, "I and the Father are one. No one gets to the Father but through me." You know, I have a very, very dear friend, and I hope that she's listening this evening. And I want you all to know that we need your prayers for this person. She's a very, very beautiful person in the Lord. And she is running through some trying times right now. We do need to pray for her and pray for others as well. For the Lord knows our wants, our needs. But he instructs us always to pray for others. So I ask you to pray for my dear friend with her trying times, and that her family is understanding with her. And if the Lord does find the Holy Spirit to bless you, please send any donation you can to the Heritage of Faith Christian Church, P.O. Box 748, Crowley, Texas 76036. Make your checks and money order payable to the Heritage of Faith Christian Church in the memo put to the prison ministry, Pastor Scott Wernick. Dear Lord, help us to never forget the great price you paid so that we could be forgiven. We don't want to ever take for granted the sacrifice you made on behalf so that no further sacrifice of life needs to be made. Now the sacrifice we must make is one of thanksgiving and praise to you for all that you have done to set us free from the consequences of our own sins. Amen. I hope you join me Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Time for Jesus' teaching on God's law. This is a continuing of a lot of Jesus' teachings that he gave us when he was here, when he began his ministry at age 27. And it's something that you should understand and take a grasp to. And I want you, I would like to leave you with this song from Miss Amy Grant. She's a very good Christian singer. And it's called Imagine, the Wondrous World Song of Jesus. Broken lives, resurrected, Well, brothers and sisters, I enjoyed this evening. And again, be blessed and pray for my dear friend. Pray fervently, for the Lord knows what's on our hearts and on our minds. We must pray for others. Thank you. Good night. Join me Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time for Jesus' teaching on God's law. Good night.